Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's good to see you. Well, I can't see you, but it's good to...
It's good to know you're there.
It's good to sort of spread my audio over your ears, into your ears. And
I'm here. Sorry, I'm really busy today. I've got a lot of stuff. It's tax time, and there's stuff happening, like Dogecoins and whatever. Like, geez, I got so many emails to... So I'm here, but if I'm a bit distant, it's because I'm super busy. So
okay, you're cracking down on
I'm trying to get it. Yeah, I'm trying to get ahead of the game.
Well, here. There's so much, for a modern man, to deal with digitally, AI and Dogecoin and
the list,
globalization,
NFTs.
Oh. Mutual funds, RSPs,
RSVPs. RSVPs. Gotta do those.
Oh God, you mean
there's RRPs, of course. You gotta look at those and figure out TTFNs.
Gotta go check my fridge and check all the sell by dates and
PNGs,
everything in there as well.
LLPs, BFGs.
Oh my God, BF! Don't get me started on those BFGs.
BBWs.
BBWs.
BBDAs. Oh.
So how's everyone doing? What have you done this week? What have you got yourselves up to? What pickles have you got yourself in?
No pickles I got, but we got a greenhouse. It's not the big boy one that I was talking about, designing my own, but we got a starter greenhouse, but it's not one of those flimsy ones that will just blow into the road the minute there's a gentle breeze. It's made of wood. It's pretty sturdy. It's heavy. It's quite big, but it's not
just
like
a sort of flimsy framework of glass. It's
but I can fit quite a bit in there. We've started growing some little lettuce, some lamb's lettuce.
Oh.
We got a couple of pots of cress growing.
Did you go to the garden center then? Is that what's...
It wasn't this week, though. This has been going on for a couple of weeks.
Oh, so you've been buying up cress seeds and things, thinking, I'm going to plant these when we have a greenhouse.
No, no. My kids, I don't know how they managed to find this stuff, but they have, I think my mother-in-law got them.
Underground connections, yeah. They
must
have, it's like a black market that kids use to buy stuff from other kids and grandparents.
Yeah,
you know.
They got these little sets that had, a trowel and, and gloves and all this stuff. It's like a little bum bag that you, tie to your waist. It's got all the stuff in it, and it came with seeds for all sorts of stuff. So we were okay, well, let's just plant them. And some of them are growing. It's unbelievable. Little tiny sprouts are coming out of the soil. We sowed those seeds, and now that they're in the greenhouse, nice and warm in there, they get the sun. We've been watering them every day. Stuff is actually growing. So before you know it, we're gonna be doing a chef's kiss every night with food that we've grown in my greenhouse.
I can smell
alongside
the
my
greenhouse
yeah.
while you're talking about it. I can that greenhouse smell, especially if there's tomatoes
oh
growing
God.
In there.
No, there's
yeah.
no tomatoes in that, there just yet. We're getting
but that's
there,
the smell.
We're
you know, that's the smell of a greenhouse.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure. We had a greenhouse as a kid, and I remember my parents would grow tomatoes, things in there. Yeah, it was a big part of my childhood, having a garden and having kind of strawberry patches and a raspberry bush and, I don't know, various other bits and bobs around the garden that I'd be sent out to sort of do not for kind of just as a fun thing, really. It was, yeah, it was never anything like a big, like any kind of scale. We never had enough to give to anyone else, or barely enough to eat ourselves, really. But it was kind of this thing, just
right.
It was nice, I think. It was nice.
My grandmother had a greenhouse. We didn't have one, but my granny did. And I remember it was a proper attached to the house glass construction that was sort of.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what
it was big.
I'd like something like that in the future, but for now, I'm just going to have to settle with this one that we got, which is fine. It's fine. It does the job. It does all the things that I want it to do.
Hmm.
But I've got big plans. You know, I've got a vision.
Have you?
Pardon me, I'm burping a little bit as well. My vision is to immediately stop burping. But then after that, I want like a more permanent greenhouse. I want like some automatic like water in there, like a spray. I want like a nice hot mist to form a place for Terry to live as he gets bigger.
What, like a sort of tropical, a big tropical greenhouse?
A butterfly sanctuary?
Like a dome, I guess. Oh, yeah.
A dome, yeah.
You want a biodome?
I want a biodome, yeah.
Yeah, is that too much to
hey,
ask?
Hey, buddy. I want to be Pauly Shore in my older years. I want to have my own biodome, invite Brendan Fraser over. Hopefully he's not too busy. Maybe he can come over and check it out and stuff, and we can
hang
out.
He's not busy, is he?
He's not.
Right now.
He's not really got much on.
I reckon if we called him up and asked him to be on the podcast, there's a decent chance he'd say
man, he'd
yes
be chomping, I think. He'd be like,
poor lad.
Oh, fuck. Really, guys?
Yeah. I'll do it for free. Just get me
just,
on.
Just want to hear my own voice again.
I went to Garden Centre this week as well, weirdly.
Nice.
There's one up the end of the harbour that I didn't realise was there. It's like hidden behind. I bought a little cactus in a pot, a little indoor. It was just cute
looking.
Just
enough for you.
It's just enough, yeah. I've actually got it here on the desk, but it's like... They probably won't die.
They don't. They're really hardy, actually. You just give them a bit of water every once in a while, and they're fine. They don't need direct sunlight, but they can handle the direct sunlight. Like they're really, really
tough.
They
are evidence that life will find a way wherever.
Another good one for you, Lewis, might be a spider plant. You know, like, because they like it dark.
Oh, I hate spiders, though.
Yeah, but I mean, this is more of a plant than a spider. Did I tell you guys about my friend in the garage?
A spider?
Yeah. No, it's been a rough lockdown. Well, no, there's Terry as well, but no, I have a new spider friend in my garage. He lives in the corner, and he lives sort of behind, or she, I don't know.
She
lives behind a kind of like a wire organizer that runs along the top of the ceiling, but there's enough space for her to like crawl in behind it and I guess like nest there. And the other morning when I came in, I looked up to the corner to see if she was there, and there was just like three legs sticking out.
Oh no.
No, she's fine. But she was just chilling up there.
Oh, she's just chilling.
Yeah, yeah. She sets up a net, like a web in the same place all the time and just hangs there waiting for stuff, I guess. And then otherwise she just hides behind that wire organizer and just like has a nap.
Their heart basically, it stops. Because they're basically dead when they're chilling in their web. Like they slow everything right down. Yeah. So they're like hibernating. And then the movement of the web wakes them up. And it's like, oh?
There's
that moment where they sort of twitch.
Yeah.
And they turn towards it and then they scurry over there. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Yeah. If you were to scale that up to say the size of a cow,
it'd
be very, very scary.
There's not a lot of bugs in your garage.
No,
right?
There are tons actually. Well, it's a garage.
It's not airtight.
It's not super airtight. I mean, it's pretty airtight. I mean,
it's not like a
temperature
space station.
And stuff,
yes,
but
true. I suppose.
No.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there's stuff from the garden crawls in here and tries to get in. Sometimes in the summer, you get like a fly or two or whatever. But my buddy up there is gonna take care of all that for me. Like nature, life is finding a way in
here. You sure you don't need to like chuck a few in there?
What, I do. Like, if I catch a bug, chuck it in the web for the spider. I feel bad for the bug, but if it's a bug that I see is okay to kill, I'll kill flies and I'll kill wasps. I consider that fair game. Mosquitoes as well. Those are all fair game.
Oh, mosquitoes for sure.
Yeah.
If I could catch every mosquito in the world in a net and throw them into a spider web and they would die, I would do it. I don't like those.
Well, then you should be friends to the dragonfly.
There we go.
Because their larvae will kill mosquito larvae before they get going. Nice. We went to southern France, and there's a an area called the Vendée, and there's all these beautiful canals that were constructed to hold water for the nearby farmland. So the canals hold the water. If you have a dry spell, you just let a little bit of the canal water out. It's like Venice Verde, I think they call it, the Green Venice. And you can take boats up and down the canal. It's beautiful.
Well,
and I said
nice.
To the guy, excusez-moi, qu'est-ce que c'est sans mosquitoes, VC, or something like that.
Yeah.
Why are there no mozzies? And he said, the dragonfly is your friend, mes amis.
No, nice.
The dragonfly lover will eat the mosquitoes. So we have no mosquitoes. And I said, well, très bien, monsieur.
Hey.
Carry on boating.
Another fun mosquito-related fact for you guys today. If you ever visit the Portuguese island of Madeira, they also have no mosquitoes. And the reason
for
that
them.
Is they have some native lizards there that eat them all up. They're harmless lizards who eat all the mosquitoes.
Well, they're not harmless to the mosquitoes, are they?
Yeah.
But they're heroes to me. Little green heroes.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, God, we need more of these guys.
Yeah.
We do. We need to import them.
Yeah.
So this week, it's interesting that you guys are talking about gardens. I'm having my garden done right now.
Ooh.
There are men redoing the garden as
what
we speak.
Kind
of four
stuff
of them.
What kind of stuff are you having done in there?
So our garden is pretty square.
Right.
And then there's a path at the side of the house, which is just access to the side of the house and the shed and all the rest of it.
Sure.
And we had the garden when we first moved in was just grass.
Right.
It was like shit grass, you know, it's like,
because
there's not enough light. So we replaced that with paving, and we had a back flower bed and a flower bed on one side. But it's basically been untouched, really, for like 10 years. We plant stuff, we trim, we clean it, bought a barbecue, we put some pebbles down to cover the gaps and everything in the stones. But really, it hasn't had much done. It's a complete redesign.
Right.
We're having a raised flower bed at the back with sleepers.
Oh.
We trimmed the camellia bush way back because it was fucking out of control. It was like an old man's beard growing into the garden. It was huge. There was a viburnum. Had to get rid of that. It's an ugly bush anyway. And then we're having the whole thing paved like up to the edges and all the gaps filled in.
That sounds great.
It's going to be good.
Yeah,
it's going to be really good.
Will you share pictures when you're done? I'm interested to see how this turns out.
I might.
I mean, privately. I'm not saying get onto socials and stuff.
Well,
Just WhatsApp me some pictures so I can see.
I will.
Yeah. Sleepers. Well, in London, yeah, there's plenty of those. You know.
Indeed. These are new. Though.
We did a similar thing a couple of years ago, but we didn't go as fancy as you. Basically, we got rid of all life in the backyard as we knew it.
Mm.
And then we just like mulched up all of the lawn because it was mostly dead, and then just got new lawn laid down. But all that was back there was just new lawn and nothing else.
Mm.
Oh, and one tree, and that's it. So we got rid of like all the flower, but everything, because like nothing, it was just a total disaster. It was a mess. And now slowly we're with the greenhouse and whatnot, we're like reintroducing and sort of reorganizing the garden, which is actually really nice. It's really satisfying to do. Because then you just have this nice space, you know, like that you just didn't have before, which is really good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about growing food as well. I just think that's such
exciting.
A cool thing, yeah.
But you know what? Talking of growing foods, last weekend, I went away, went to West Dorset.
Oh, yeah.
Near
how did that
Lyme Regis and Bridport. So Mrs. F was going to come with us, but she came down with a cold that was pretty bad. So Thursday rolled around and she was snotting everywhere and she was feeling grim. So she was like, can you just go with the kids? And I was like, fine. So I left the dog at home, which has actually made things a little easier. Went down to Bournemouth, picked up my mum, and we drove off and we were away for the weekend. It was very nice. The weather was great. And it's just such a beautiful part of the country. Really, really the most British looking farmland ever. Rolling hills, gentle sheep, you know, cows. And it was just lovely. And country lanes with the sort of raised hedges and everything. So then it's weird. Coming back to London, you immediately think, what a fucking ugly shithole London is compared to the countryside. That's the first thought that popped into my head. It's really unnatural and unpleasant to be surrounded by all this
grey
fabrication,
the concrete,
and greyness and
the blockiness.
And just the dirt and everything. Like seeing a tree in London, you think, oh, a tree. Like it's like, you know, wow. But you're in the country, they're fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's grass everywhere, there's animals just walking about. So I kind of thought, would I want to trade? Especially, I think, having the year of lockdown and everything like that, we're just living in London. We're not doing any London-y stuff.
No, yeah.
We just happen to live here. I don't know. It made me pine for, when we're talking about gardens, opening my back door and just seeing rolling hills and countryside and stuff like that. But fuck it. I can't leave London. I love it.
Well, yeah. this is what
it comes down to,
the
right?
Calling. You're being called to the country. And then when you get over 60, you'll start being called to the seaside.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what happens.
See, the thing is, these places will call me and I'll listen. I'll be like, you know what? The sea is calling me. The countryside's calling me. But then my brain will also be calling to me saying, that's too much fucking work. It's too
right,
much.
It is.
It's too much upheaval. So I'll just stay where I am. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like my roots now are firmly here. And man, I don't know about you guys, but like moving is the worst. And
I couldn't imagine it ever.
I just don't want to move again. It's the worst.
You've kind of spent quite a lot of time pimping your place out, though, to suit yourself. And I think having to be confronted with doing that again feels like an insurmountable challenge.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we don't really have room for a third child, which is, you know, a problem. I mean, like we will soon, like I guess after we get our loft converted, but you know, these things take time. So like it might be done by the time the baby is like the, 18
the,
or whatever.
The loft conversion child. Yeah,
yes,
that's a good one to think about.
Yeah.
The,
so there's
the,
you know,
the unexpected extra one.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've pretty much expected it. And they're not too far apart in age, are
no,
they?
Yeah.
Like 7 years?
I mean, the baby doesn't need their own room for years anyway, really. I mean, they could just like, you know, sleep in a crib in our room. It's fine. But yeah, no, I still don't want to move though. Like even though I probably could move and maybe probably should move, I still just don't want to move. Like I'm just happy here and we'll just make it work, you know, like just keep adding to the house or do whatever we need to do or whatever. But man, it's just the worst. The whole
I'm glad
property
I don't live
chain
in some
and
gigantic
everything.
Mansion because with COVID, it would have just fallen into disrepair. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. I live in like a 2-bed apartment and it's nice to be able to, it's easy to clean, you know, it's just like once a week I give it a hoover and do the bathrooms. It's like not, it's not like a lot of hassle.
Right.
Obviously, like I like the idea that I see a lot of these YouTubers living in gigantic mansions, right? And
yeah.
I just think what happens to you in COVID in there on your own for a year?
I don't know. I don't think I'd be too upset about having a mansion to live in during lockdown. I think, you know,
I don't know if it's all, I think it's overrated.
Each day of the week, you could spend time in a different room and you just feel like you're in a hotel or whatever, right? Like, oh, yeah, I forgot I had a library. Huh, nice. Okay, well, this will do me for today, I guess. And tomorrow it's back to the utility room, I guess, or whatever. Like, you know,
I think my whole life has kind of been on the computer anyway. Ever since I was, you know, ever since I had my first PC, I kind of felt like it was everything from TV to books to everything I would kind of do at the computer. So it wasn't like, this last year's been that different, really, in a sense, to the rest of my existence. I don't know. I understand. But talking about gaming and stuff, and you know what defines a gamer. I was talking about the guys with this week because it's like, do you guys consider yourself gamers?
Can you define gamer? Before
well, if
I
just tell you that,
myself.
Like, do you consider yourself to be a gamer?
I want to know what your definition of a gamer is.
I think that it means something different to different people, doesn't it? Though,
right. So I want to know what yours is. What's your definition of a gamer?
Well, I'm someone who plays hundreds of hours of games a week, and I wouldn't consider myself a gamer because I think that terminology refers to someone who plays FIFA on the sofa. Do you know what I mean? With Mountain Dew and a Doritos pack and plays Call of Duty. And
so you're saying that
a console
sit
peasant
at a computer chair and you eat like vegan snacks and play like weird old military strategy games or whatever, you're better than that guy who's doing essentially all the same things that you're
doing. Well, yeah, I guess if we're just using the term to refer to someone who plays games. But also, though, I feel like I'm not immersed in gaming culture.
Right.
I've never I've never really played Pokemon. I had a look at the first one, or one of the first ones back in the day.
I love how that's like a, that's like a benchmark.
Yeah. I've never played Pokemon.
I don't own any consoles. I haven't owned any of them for ever. I think the last one I had was a PS2. I've got a Switch, but I've used it about once to play. Right. I played the Zelda about halfway through, and then
Breath of the Wild.
I never got to the end of it, and I haven't. Oh. It's just gathered dust in the last 2-3 years since I got it. You know, I'm not up on these things, the culture of gaming. If you like, I mean, this is a kind of supposed to be a gaming podcast.
Well,
but I feel like I'm just, if I was called to do any kind of quiz about gaming, I'd be terrible.
Well, I mean, I mean, gaming is such a broad thing now. There's tons of different genres of games. There's tons of different communities for games. Like, you know, there's casual games. There's not so casual games. There's all sorts of stuff. I mean, to keep up with everything would be a lot. And I think you'd have to be kind of passionate about the industry as a whole, which is garbage. I don't know why anybody would waste their time. And I think you just play the stuff that you like to play, whatever, it's fine. Like, I guess you're a gamer. You're just, you're like a, you know, like you've carved your own little part of the gaming world, right? You know about some games, clearly.
Yeah.
Like you play enough of them. So.
I do. There's another, on the same topic, this week, I was playing some Magic the Gathering, right? So, because there's a new expansion, it's like Hogwarts, basically, and they've launched the Magic the Gathering Arena app on the iPad, which I've had so many adverts for. But I hate Magic the Gathering. I really hate it. It's a game that is just unfortunately pinned to its original design from 1996, when games were quite different, and it's stuck around and not innovated out of its. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I don't like one of the core mechanics of Magic the Gathering, which Hearthstone fixed and became hugely successful off of, which is the idea that your lands are mixed into your deck and you sometimes, or quite often, I'd say about 1 in 3 or 4 games, or sometimes even more, either end up with only lands or not enough lands, right? And it's deeply unsatisfying. So when I play Magic the Gathering in person, I always have to explain to people that that we're going to play it differently. We're going to play Lewis rules.
Oh, right. You're one of those.
Right.
What does that mean?
I hate that. I hate that to just say that. Well, so basically I just take all the lands out of the deck, which leaves you often with only a really tiny looking deck, which is kind of sad. It makes you realize how limited Magic the Gathering is.
I remember this. So your point is that sometimes you can lose a game because you get land starved, and that's not fair.
Well, all the other way around, or you get flooded. And it's a part of Magic the Gathering. It's sure, like, people can fix it, and you're supposed to fix it, and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's going, oh, well, you just build your deck in a way that makes sure you get lots of lands, blah, 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 and all that garbage. But
the thing is, any randomized deck, there are going to be occasions, just like in poker, where you deal out, you know, 4 of a kind on the flop or whatever, which does happen, you know, 3 of a kind on the flop, and then the turn card is another, you know, so you've got 4 of a kind on the board. That does happen. So similarly in Magic the Gathering, you can shuffle the deck and you might end up with 20 lands or whatever you've got at the top of the deck. It's possible. That is a failing of the game.
It is a failing of the game. And unfortunately for me, it happens too much that it really ruins the fun, I think. It really ruins the whole game for me. And also,
so you played this game so much that you now have developed your own rules for playing the game with other people who've played the game a lot.
Yes.
But you're not a gamer.
So, no.
Right.
Well, that's not, it's not a video game, is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys know what I mean. So basically the rules that we have are we have a separate pile of lands, a separate deck of lands, and a separate deck of... So you have the two decks. So when you're on your draw phase, or whenever it says draw, you can choose to draw from either pile, right? And obviously this does change some of the balance of cards, but mostly we don't play sort of fixed decks. We usually draft or stuff like that. And obviously when you're drafting cards, it's all completely... You might get like a really amazing bomb card or like a terrible... junk load of crap anyway, so the balance is all off anyway when you're doing a draft. And I don't know, I just had a lot more fun with it when we changed the rules, but some people think that is the most heretical thing to do, right? Because the game developers know best and blah 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 and all this crap. And I do it all the time though. all the time. I'm one of these people who is constantly just saying, oh, let's try this game without this rule, or like the house rules. Everyone has house rules for stuff, and they're often because they found that it works better in that way, right?
Sure.
But people are, and look, I know that the developers have developed this game and they've played it 100 times.
Do you
and
think
so
that
they
you'll
know
get,
best
do you think
how
that
it should
you'll
be
get
played.
Banned from attending tournaments and stuff if they hear about your creepy rule set that you you and your friends play?
Yeah. Well, there
they're
is that
hear
fear.
About, they're going to be like, well, this is such a huge disrespect to us. He's not allowed to come to any of our card game tournaments anymore.
You, sir, are banned from Magic the Gathering forever.
You will never step foot in this convention again, sir.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's, to some extent, there's a bit of that, but I think most developers are open to people challenging them and changing the game, playing them how they want and whatever. But I think I run into this all the time, and people say, oh no, this is how it should be played. Like, and not that if anyone's going to argue with me, I usually just be like, oh, well, no problem. Like, let's just do it the standard way. I don't mind. But, you know, I just think it's more fun this way. It's more interesting this way these rules work. And you find them quite quickly. And I think there is this idea that the original developer's way of doing it is the best. And in fact, often it's not. I think developers are, like, a lot of the time, for example, like at GDC, for example, I talked to some game developer.
Right.
And he'd be like, oh, so this game does this, this, and this. And I'd be like, oh, right. So it's like that bit in Slay the Spire. And he's like, what? And I'd be like, yeah, Slay the Spire. So it's a bit like that bit. And he's like, oh, I've never played that. And I'm like, you're developing a game which is exactly like another game
in the world
of gaming, and you haven't played one of the most popular games in that genre.
That happens a lot, though. But there are so many games now, to be fair.
I know, like, and that's why I think that, you know, these guys are, and these games are fallible. These developers, these game modes. When I say game, I mean rules, I guess. I mean like the way it's set up. Like, for example, proximity chat in a game is often there because it's the easiest way for the developer to put voice chat into their game, right?
Yeah.
They've got two options. Either everyone's broadcasting all the time to each other, or it's prox-based. And so they've put it in, but like we often play on... Like, we played Trouble in Terrorist Town on Discord, and we don't have prox chat, and it works fine because we've kind of ended up adjusting the rules to that setting.
Man, I kind of know where you're coming from. Like, let me just explain this, which I'm sure I've explained before. Here's another Triforce moment for you. I'll probably repeat word for word something I've already said before. Like, I get these, I have these sort of moments when I'm gaming. Or like, it's usually after I play a really good game and then I'm trying to find something else to play, I'll get like in a bit of a rut, I guess. But while I'm in that rut, all I can think about is playing Dude Sim Alaska, which doesn't exist and is like my ideal game. You know what I mean? And then I just get really sort of bummed out about what games are around, what's on offer, why hasn't anybody made Dude Sim Alaska yet, blah, 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 blah. And I feel like you're in the same spot right now with Magic the Gathering. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
maybe you
also
just finished playing some really good games.
Also Warhammer.
Right.
And I mean, if I'd name like two of the biggest franchises in gaming, they are Magic the Gathering and Warhammer. You know, they are huge franchises, right? They are massively successful, and they are at their heart supposed to be have a game. I mean, but they're not really, are they? Both Magic the Gathering and Warhammer are about selling toys, selling cards, building a collection, collecting things. The game is kind of there as this adjunct, right?
Yeah.
And it's not very good. And it's never been good, but it can't change because too many people are like, this game's really, I'd be perfect. This game's perfect. I can't change the game. And so like Warhammer is a perfect example of a terrible, terrible game, right? Like, I read this article. I was reading this thing by this person, and she was like, oh, you know, I got into painting because my boyfriend collected Warhammer. And one day he taught me how to sort of play. And we played on the floor, like Floorhammer. And the whole time she was talking about the interview, she was kind of dodging the fact that she clearly hated the game.
Right.
And she was like, oh yeah. And obviously then, you know, I sort of, it was okay. I didn't really understand it. She was trying to avoid saying that she didn't like it, right? And she had a bad time because Warhammer is a bad time. It's a bad game. It's a shallow,
it's a shallow, shallow game. It's skin deep, and the complexity comes from a vast amount. It's like an ocean of complexity, but it's only a millimeter deep, right? There's right. no
can
real...
You, can you give me an example of how
I'm going to get a lot of people complaining.
No. You're entitled to your stupid opinions on the internet. I haven't played Warhammer since like first or second edition or whatever, so I haven't played it recently. But when they started to make... So Games Workshop had 40K, Warhammer Fantasy Battles, Blood Bowl, and then they started to make lots of other games, like Seas of Blood, I think, was one, and there were a ton. All these other games they started to come out with. And I noticed a trend for simplification. Like, the games were getting simpler and simpler and simpler, but there were more and more units, because that means more stuff to sell, right? And all very specific rules for each gun, and you bought a piece and it came with a special, like, splash damage counter or whatever.
This is exactly the problem.
That seemed to be the direction it was going. And I remember I played against my friend. I played Seas of Blood. Pretty sure I mentioned this before, but I can't remember. I had the default Corsair ships or whatever they were that came with it because I didn't want to spend any money on it. He bought the game. He bought some extra bits to go with it. So he bought these dwarf ships. And of course, being in his workshop, if it's anything related to dwarves, they're super OP. So same in Blood Bowl, same in everything.
Right.
So he's got these ships that he paid money for, and I've got the ones that came with the game. Now, to my mind, any game where the more money you spend, the better the shit you have access to is pay to win. Games Workshop invented pay to win in games. And I suppose Magic the Gathering followed suit as well, because there are some cards that you just got to have them, so you have to spend money to get them. And a lot of other things have followed suit, Hearthstone and all the rest of it. So when I saw that my ships, their only advantage was that they were slightly quicker than his ships, because he was dwarves, and I was just like these regular ships. His units had so much armor on them that I don't think I could actually do any damage to him with my ship, right, unless I rolled like all sixes or whatever. And his guns could basically cover the entire board. So my friend came up with this strategy of just parking his ship in the middle of the map and just waiting. And if I came anywhere near him, he'd kill me. So I'm staying at maximum range, going as fast as I can, trying to plink away at him. And it doesn't matter. He just blows me up and the game is over. And I was like, this is fucking stupid. And he was like, well, why don't you go buy some better ships and then we'll have a proper game. I was like, because this game fucking sucks. I'm not going to spend any money on it. And this dwarf thing is like 25 quid. And you haven't even painted it, because we never paint our models because we're lazy bastards. So we just always played with these unpainted models. I was disgusted. And I thought Games Workshop has gone the same way for a very long time. Obsession with certain races and making them money.
It is the whatever the camel that scratches its own whatever that idiom humps? Is.
I don't know what that's
it?
Saying.
One the thing scratching the what's the thing where it informs itself? Like
a hump.
Which the camel that scratches its own hump?
No.
Why are you describing a camel and not talking about its defining
I
feature,
don't know why
the
I'm
hump?
Saying a camel. I don't know why that came to my head. My brain. There's basically.
You say camel, I think hump straight away. I mean, what else?
I don't know how.
Not
many
thinking
humps.
About its legs.
Yep. No. Or the
its little eyes with the very long eyelashes. We're not thinking about
no.
that.
No.
You say camel, I think hump.
He's spitting
camel,
between that,
hump,
that
camel,
gap in
hump.
His teeth. Yeah, that's right. Fucking camels.
What is it?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
By the way, Blood Bowl 3 comes out later this year.
Are you excited?
Phrase.
Well, I wouldn't say excited. I suppose it would be like saying...
I feel like it's a game you love to hate.
It is. In the sense that, let's say I've done three tours of duty in NAM and I'm flying out for my fourth.
Right.
I'm not excited. No. I just know it's coming and I'm not going to be able to say no.
It's just a big shit sandwich and we all got to take a bite.
Exactly right.
Right. Gotcha.
Exactly right.
Nice.
You watched Full Metal Jacket recently,
I did, actually. It was on Netflix, I think. And I was like, oh, shit, I haven't seen this in years. And I watched it. What a fucking movie. It's so good. I love the I like the first half more with the drill sergeant and stuff, but the whole movie is great.
But. It is great, but yes, all the bits with Ali Ermey and are so iconic.
Yeah.
But I do love the people he bumps into out there. I think he obviously, one of the big things that Kubrick tried to do with Dr. Strangelove as well was to point out the inherent insanity of any armed forces, but especially the American armed forces, which are so all-powerful. But they have these guys in charge that just seem to be out of their minds.
Yeah,
they're just these crazy guys who are just absolutely 100% embedded in the army. This is all they know. This is all they could have ever done or been. And that, you know, and then they're in this war and they're fucking loving it. Yeah. Some of them. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, they were just they prepared their whole lives for that one moment.
Yeah.
And then the war ends and they have to rotate back to the real world. And
they're just career soldiers. I think the guys that have been drafted turn out to be very, very, very good at killing people. That's the harder adjustment. I think if you're a professional soldier who's trained for this, wants to be a soldier and presumably therefore wants to be in combat, I'm sure there's an awful lot of trauma, but it's an easier adaptation than the guys who came back from NAM who didn't want to go there.
No, yeah.
Who were forced to go there and fight and were fucking terrified every minute of the day.
Yeah.
I guess that's a much harder adjustment.
Particularly a brutal war as well. Like they just...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
A lot of the time, these... Talking about war, I mean, this is where war games come from, right? Julius Caesar and, you know, the Romans were kind of...
He played fucking
doing
Warhammer.
War games, right?
Brutus, this dwarven ship is overpowered us.
Paint my ships, peasant. I will not play the game without painted ships.
15 sesterces will get you a new ship that's even better than the old one.
I will not spend a single dinar on this film. Gamers Workshopers are after naught but money.
Well, I mean, Warhammer obviously make a lot of different games, but I think it is supposed to be this epic miniatures simulation, rather like a train set, you know, rather like a kind of historical... thing. And I think that's partly where it came from. And there's still a lot of these games out there where you do feel like this is this grand thing. But as a result, it just becomes not... There's a lack of strategy. There's a lack of things that we're used to in games. We're used to making decisions. And I think Warhammer is bloated and it's got these big ugly swings because you get to do your whole turn before they do, sometimes twice. You know, sometimes you're sat there, your opponent's sat there for half an hour before they get to respond, which is kind of
fun.
Astonishing.
Fun. What
in
fun.
The modern world, right? And so, but when I come to people and I try and talk about this, or I try to suggest an alternative game, you know, that we could play, I get these looks and these comments as if I've just taken a big shit on like...
You talking about Ben behind his back?
No, not Ben. But generally though, with people, like, I don't know, like maybe I need to find new friends. it is interesting. Like the people are so protective. I think mostly on the internet, you know, because they love their game and the game that they've spent a long time learning and they want to see that game continue and be changed and be updated in the same way that
it's an odd thing because you're basically investing not only a lot of time in a game but also a lot of money in a game, and I think that also adds to the weird like skew of views of the game, right? Because you're so deep at that point, you're like, you can't admit to yourself that you've just been supporting something that you don't like or that you think is wrong or whatever.
This is it. So you're right. So this is, I know why this I'm feeling like this all this week. It's because I just played that Voxel Tycoon that came out on
Steam.
Let
me guess. What's
it like?
Let me guess. You bought you had a bad game and you went and bought like 25 packs of Magic the Gathering cards, and then you're just like, oh, fuck.
Lying there surrounded by magic cards.
Why did I spend that money on this game that I don't even want to play now? I'm so salty about it.
I probably, when I was a kid, played and still did play a lot of games that I have a very rosy, nostalgic view of. Like, obviously, some of them are, I still think, are fantastic games. Like, Heroes of Might and Magic 2 and old XCOM games, stuff like this, you know, stuff that, and Colonization, some of the old Civ games, you know, and that people might think now when they look at them are unplayable or terrible games. And so Voxel Tycoon came out, and it's basically Open Transport Tycoon Deluxe.
Ooh.
Which is the classic Sid Meier's game, but they've also built in Factorio a little bit in there. So you can sort of build, you can ship your iron ore to a little warehouse, and then you can conveyor belt it out of the warehouse into a smeltery, smelt it into iron, and take that to some shop that sells an ironmongery stuff. And you could do it with trains, and it's got signals, and it's got trucks, and it's got copy and duplicate, and it's got all the same controls as OpenTTD.
Yeah,
it's basically, they've clearly copied OpenTTD and made it.
That's fine though. It's an old ass game that we desperately need a new version of it.
Desperately,
but with the core mechanics and then just some extra bells and whistles, who can complain about that?
I know. And what they've done is they've also done a bit on it where they've actually made it into a game. Because in OpenTTD, you set up one coal route and you're the richest guy in the land. You know, you get so much money. That you,
I'm going to play OpenTTD right now.
Completely,
it's such
unbalanced.
A good game. Fuck, it's so
but
good.
It's but Voxel Tycoon has obviously been tweaked.
Yeah,
so
get that, Flax. Play that instead. It sounds good.
So is Voxel Tycoon a more modern take on OpenTTD?
That's what Lewis has been saying this whole time.
But I wasn't listening.
I'm a bit worried that it's gonna kind of.
I'm sorry,
it's all right.
I'm out too. You fuck.
What'd you say?
I've played it for like a few hours, and the controls, because it's early access, the controls are quite fiddly, even for someone who is a very experienced OpenTTD player.
Gamer,
pro gamer, fucking still has fresh Cheeto dust on his fingertips right now as he speaks.
Laughing at all those console peasants.
Yeah,
but yeah, I filled
a sock with shit.
Jesus.
I do still wonder if anybody ever did that.
They must have.
There's quite a few frustrating things about the game, which took me like a couple of failed playthroughs to learn. Like I had to restart, I think, three times because something screwed me every time. Like, one was that I ran out of money quite quickly and I got so little from the routes that I couldn't dig myself out of the hole. The second time I built my whole thing, and then I realized that my trucks were all just blocking up all the roads, so I had to kind of actually try and build a proper infrastructure with trucks and all use trains instead. And then the third time I restarted because I realized you can build multiple if there's a wood, I thought, oh, I could just build one sawmill on the wood, but no, you could build like six sawmills like all over that wood.
Oh, that's great. That sounds really fun. I gotta play that. I've been playing Satisfactory after the last time we talked about games like that.
Have you?
I was
gosh.
I gotta check out Satisfactory because this new update just came out and everything.
Have you reached the new update?
No,
yet?
I haven't. I'm on tier 5 and 6, so I'm just at oil and fuel generators and all that kind of stuff.
Invite me to your game. I want to come see it. I want to come help out.
Just watch the stream. I'm not a gamer.
First of all, he said he's not a classic gamer, but now he's obviously is. He's just an elitist gamer.
Well, he's just
going to
come
in.
He's going to like go off the grid and stuff. I've worked really hard at keeping everything
on a grid. Yeah?
The man's just said he needs some new friends. He's sick of his existing friends.
Oh, my God, yeah. Those are the ones to watch for.
He's crying out for help. He's
going
to be your best friend.
Do you think I'm
going
to come in and say, this is a mess, Sips? This doesn't work.
No,
why is this here? Do you think I'm going to pick
you
all apart?
Even worse, I think you're going to come in, you're not going to say a word, and you're just going to start building shit all over the place. I think that's even
in
worse.
His imaginary Satisfactory land. Dude, said, don't put it there.
Well, I'll be respectful of your factory.
I figured out a way to get 110% efficiency on this. I just have to place all these miners not on the grid, and I'm going to create some spaghetti here. And no, I don't want any of that, Lewis. Okay?
Right. No, fair enough. I wouldn't want someone coming in and messing up my stuff either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got layers, though. Like, I'm thinking vertically. Like, I have...
Oh.
Yeah, I have, like a raw resource distribution layer, and then kind of, like, ten foundations
I would
up.
Like to just give you a warning about that, because the lag gets pretty bad if you have too many buildings in one place. And so I at a certain point, if you're not careful, it will become unplayable.
Yeah, no, I've started creating satellites.
You've reached that.
And I'm using hypertubes to connect them all up. Man, it is very satisfactory. It is the whole thing when you get to that point where you're just like, look at everything I built. And you're going between sites, and as you're approaching like the first site, you're like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, you know, it renders it cool. in from far away and everything.
It's so big, and the scale's really great. Yeah. You know, you feel dwarfed by your gigantic machines and space elevator.
It is really nice.
Yeah, I'm surprised. So tier five is like, you've still got some serious work to do.
Oh, I haven't even started making computers yet. So that's like...
Yeah, you basically have to pull together these huge amounts of material from disparate places, which is, you need trains really pretty pronto.
I
want to tell you guys, I refunded I think 3 games in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. So I refunded a game called ICBM, because I quite like the game DEFCON, but I wanted a slightly more complicated one. Yeah. So I looked at ICBM, and everyone was like, this is great. This is absolutely fantastic. It absolutely fills the void that, you know, it's like DEFCON, but better. So I was like, all right. So I got it. I played it for 10 minutes. I was like, this fucking sucks. This sucks so bad. Refunded it straight away. Wasteland 3, which was a game that my chat recommended to me because I'd finished XCOM. They're like, you'll love it, Piran. You got to get it. Fucking awful.
It's an acquired taste, the Wasteland.
It is an acquired taste. Yeah. It is definitely. I liked Wasteland 2, and I couldn't get into Wasteland 3. It was just too... There was something missing about the tone of it. It was all just a bit... There was something... Oh, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel good.
It was just...
It felt like it
boring.
Was...
Boring. Fucking awful. Just, and everyone would be like, gave it 10 minutes. Listen, when I was 5 minutes into Slay the Spire, FTL, Dota, all of those games, I was like, this is fucking great. You can tell pretty quickly that you're going to like a game. And sometimes you go, it's good, and then I hit a wall and it just kind of goes to bit and the mid-game's not good or whatever. The moment I fired up Stellaris, the first time when Stellaris first came out, I was like, this is fucking great. And I was hooked. And it's the same with a whole bunch of other games. Yeah. So it's not that... You know, I didn't give it a chance. It's just that I knew instantly, like even on the character creation screen, I was like, this is fucking ugly. And this cost a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's
I don't
fair
like
enough.
Any of these
it's
characters.
Fair enough. I'm like that with certain games too. I've tried to play No Man's Sky 3 separate times, and I cannot bring myself to like that game. Like, it's not even based on the bad release or anything like that. I can't stand the way that it looks. Like, I just hate the... I hate this, that the space station is just a big triangle in space. And you know what I mean? Like I was saying this to chat the other day when I was streaming. I was like, if I'm playing a game in space, I want the stuff to look like it's from like Eve or like from StarCraft, you know? Like, I like that industrial sort of, you know, like pipes and
it looks like something that belongs
fuel
in space.
Tanks and shit everywhere. Yeah. Like, those are the aesthetics that I want. And they're important as well. Like, I can't just play a game that looks like artsy-fartsy futuristic, you know what I mean? Like, depending. Like, some people could probably pull it off, but I don't feel like No Man's Sky does pull it off. And it just feels like this... All of the planets that you go to have this like hue of like the color of baby shit. Like, it's just, it's
we
the
are
worst.
Throwing out some really hot takes today on stuff where we, and I think so many people, even in this very Discord channel chat that we have right now, have got disagreements. But that's okay, right?
If everybody was the same, it would be so boring, right? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's our job to have opinions, often completely clueless ones. But by God, you know, You all out there listening to this have some fucking shitty opinions of your
and
own.
And also, do you know what? Like, you've probably already played basically No Man's Sky and Wasteland 3 in 100 other games.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Yeah.
There's so much overlap, right?
Yeah.
And if you're just not feeling it right now, then you're not going to feel it, are you? You know, it's the thing. If you don't like the book you're reading, just pick another fucking book up. Like, just who cares? Like, no one's going to blame you for it. Throw it in the fire. Who fucking cares?
Burn it!
I love Satisfactory, but the first time I ever played Satisfactory, I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. Like, the first time I played it, I just thought it felt really cumbersome. The buildings were too big. Like, I just, you know, I think I was just used to Factorio where
yeah.
you just had
where
that sort of...
Where have you started? Which biome have you started in?
This time around, I mean, I've played it. I've played hundreds of hours previously, but this time I started in the... desert, like not like the right. not this not like the really hard desert, but like the other
desert
that has
top,
tons of pure
right.
nodes in it. Yeah,
yeah,
top
it's
left,
a huge
I think.
Area to like. Oh, not the sandy one, not the big. Not
no,
the sandy
top
desert.
Right is kind of like the. It looks like
the sand dunes,
like a barren wasteland, right?
Yeah, it's just sand dunes and big. Like long bits.
Yeah,
it's basically just huge, vast areas of open land for you to build in, which is very helpful.
No, that's cool.
If you start anywhere near the middle, it's just valleys and trees and heights, and it basically fucking.
That doesn't matter though, because game. I'm building in the sky basically. Like my whole
right.
factory is floating above everything because I just find it easier to snap everything to the grid rather than. Mess around with like different heights
building
and shit
in the
like
sky.
That. Yeah. It's awesome though. It looks great. And now they have all these extra things like the pillars that you can build and everything to make it look like it's not floating. I haven't done it yet, but you know, I'll get there.
Yeah.
It's on the list of things to do.
You can make it look, well, it depends what you want to do, doesn't it? I think if you want to make it look beautiful, it feels like when you're playing games like Diablo and Path of Exile, or some of these, or Dota, like you're just constantly like rushing to do the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's constantly this, you don't have time to think about how your character looks often. You don't really care, you know, it's not, you don't have a long time to tweak your you know, if you spend like 2 hours decorating your factory, it feels like the idea of dedicating that time is a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, for some types of player, but some people only do that. Some people are like, well, you know, I have to make this look good because it'll pay me back in the long run, because I'm going to have to look at this thing a lot, you know. So
I mean, when you look at City Skylines, there's a game where I try to do it very functionally. How can I, like, blam down this big industrial area and just get the roads right and everything? So I'm thinking of it more sort of as a procedure. Whereas when you look at some people's cities and City Skylines, they're beautifully designed. Like, they've really got an eye for the aesthetic and the layout and stuff, and it obviously really appeals.
Oh.
I think that's a good thing in games.
I see you're familiar with Sipsville in San Francisco. Nice, thank you very much, Flex.
Just a beautiful clover leaf pattern, but actually in reality to live there is just awful because there's not enough facilities, everything's too far away.
Yeah.
The traffic is terrible,
right.
You know, there's this one roundabout at the center that everyone has to go around.
They're just like I love
tackling the traffic problems in Skylines.
Well, Skylines is a game about traffic problems. That the whole game is basically a traffic
it
problem
is,
simulator,
but there are quite a few mods that you can get that make it more sensible.
Yeah,
because the default traffic AI is kind of like, if you design stuff where you think this will make sense, the AI just ignores the sense,
yeah,
and just gets itself into a mess. So there are quite a few good mods out there, and you can do things like, all right, listen, if you're turning right, you stay out of this lane.
Yes,
you have to be in this lane. And that cures so many problems.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no sort of like traffic rule sets in the game by default. So
yeah,
you're trying to plan a city that looks like a real city, but when you consider a real city, we'll have lots of little details in how traffic can flow and stuff, right?
Right.
You know, like one ways, and I mean, you could do one ways, but like, you know, no right turns and stuff like that really does help with the flow, but there's no way in the base game to do any of that.
Right. But I'm spending way more time on that than I am on making it look good.
Yeah, who cares though?
I'm
if you're
like,
having fun, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, I just think it's funny that you can play it both
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, no, it's
well,
good.
There
I think
is
it's great
beauty
that you can play
in
ways.
Like function to some degree, like, you know, like the Factorio, you know, sure, you have to build these factories that are very specific and require things to, like, it's like being a circuit board. You know, a circuit board can be beautiful, you know, when you see all of the things ordered and organized and the lines and the groups and everything kind of in this pattern, right? But it's definitely the optimal pattern is not necessarily going to be something that's symmetrical or shapes in it that are like in nature.
Right.
Necessarily.
I mean, people like to see evidence of someone's industry, like of their work. Like, you know, when someone says, I spent 1,000 hours making this giant ball of rubber bands or something like that. You know, people take a satisfaction in, like, when someone in Minecraft shows off, I made the entirety of Westeros in Minecraft to scale or whatever, and then they, you know, you think, God, that must have taken weeks and weeks and weeks. People look at it and think, wow, that's incredible. I look at it and think, what the fuck are you doing? Like, find something else to do, surely. But that's their enjoyment. That's their favorite
thing. I think they get a lot of fun out of that. And going back to what you said about going to Dorset and like seeing nature and how beautiful that is. Often that is not. That's very random. The trees and the sort of hills and the sort of way the world is generated, I almost said.
Yeah, the biome that we live in it can be very beautiful. Yeah.
And you're not a gamer. Come on.
Oh, shit. And going back to this planned London with its hard edges and its kind of squared off sort of systems. Or an American like grid city plonked down.
Well,
sure,
cities are an evolution, though. I mean, London's been around a long time, you know, like and architecture, like planning, all that stuff goes through different phases and trends, right? Like now there's a lot more emphasis on creating like more open green spaces and stuff. But your canvas is just this like bleak concrete jungle, it's hard to find those spaces and create them. But
I mean, London,
you'll find
is
in a couple
good.
Of years that some of that will get reclaimed and it'll look better. And as like planning and stuff becomes more and more like modern and that way leaning, it'll change the city. But, you know, you're still in a lot of cases, you're just stuck with what's been there for a long ass time. And
London is beautiful. The change, the nature of how the architecture changes from one place to another.
Yeah.
And you can see the history in a lot of it. And you'll have a really old building next to a really new building. And I think that duality is beautiful. But they're also, to be fair, London has an awful lot of green space.
Yeah,
sorry,
it does. Yeah, that's surprising.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, I think
what a cop out.
I think it really is, though. Like, isn't that strange how things that can be so different can be, in a sense, you know, still considered like an array of a very standard array. You know, I've seen like these geometrical patterns that look very, you know, as artwork on walls. You know that look very beautiful, when I've seen things that look like these modern art, which are just so random splodges of paint that, you know, you could think, oh, that looks beautiful. Isn't it strange how we can see beauty in all sorts of different shapes and things, you know, from entirely random to, you know, in chaotic to entirely organized.
Yes.
But in a sense, like, the overlap works. Like, it's strange.
And yet. That was a very forceful It was almost like a word, not just a sound.
It was too... Yeah, my brain was overloading a bit there. Anyway, it's very good to talk to you guys and keep up with all of what you're doing.
Hey, another really quick one though, guys. If you're looking for like just some good fun, I played Rocket League this week with some friends, and I streamed it a bit yesterday with some people. And man, for just like throwaway 5 minutes of fun or whatever, it is actually really, really exciting and good.
It
fun.
Is fun. I'm so bad at it.
Oh,
though.
Me too.
I'm
but
so
it's like the matchmaking is actually kind of decent at putting you against people who are equally bad. So like,
I think it's free to play now as well.
It is.
So, Rocket League. If you've never played it, if you're interested, it's worth a look because it's got this kind of very visceral hitting of the ball.
It's very satisfying if you do score. Oh, also very quickly, I went to the pub last night.
Oh, nice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was great. But because of lockdown's been quite tough, I think it's been tough on parents of young children as well, especially when the schools were out. Yeah. There weren't many stories about how much we've been drinking. we were sharing stories about occasions when we had not been drinking, because everyone had been drinking and so stressed out that there was that the instead of, you know, normally meet up, you tell the stories of some debauched weekend, but instead it was stories of tolerance and moderacy. And so that I thought that was quite funny.
Nice. Wow.
Obviously, that's how you know people are stressed. They're like, do you know what? Last weekend, I didn't have a drop of wine both days. Everyone's like, wow, that's unbelievable. And I was holy like, this crap. Is normally the way these stories go.
No,
normally yeah. people talk about their crazy weekends.
Yeah.
That's lockdown. Shrug.
Do you think like the pubs need to change to like accommodate people's new normal? Instead of being at the pub, they've been at home in their pajamas, eating cheese on toast. And, you know, do you reckon pubs need to start catering for that?
Well, so we all just turn up in our PJs and it's a cozier
Yeah, trying
experience.
To replicate the home experience. Get like, you know.
No. I don't think they do.
I think you want to break from the home experience.
Right, I think okay. as much as we're used to this new normal or whatever, I think once things kind of get back to as they were, people will quickly remember, you know, how things were and just adapt again.
Yeah. I will say, though, a lot of businesses have started doing takeaway only, and they don't even have a shop.
Yeah.
They'll have like a warehouse on an industrial estate,
yeah.
and you just order it and it's delivered, or you can go there and pick it up, but it's yeah. just a warehouse rather
than I talked
than
about this before.
Shop.
Yeah.
I think but, it's well, a really good idea.
Back in a while ago. I expected it to happen more, but yeah, I'm definitely noticing it more.
People love the takeaway these days, like a Deliveroo and stuff. I mean, I don't know how
it's
many
exploded.
Deliveries we've had.
I can't believe, like, I mean, I can believe how big it's gotten, but it just the absolute like the shift in what people how people order meals now and stuff, and it's crazy.
It's kind of just forced people to bring themselves up to date with the latest sort of systems, yeah. you know. And so I went and got like a rice bowl yesterday, and you know, they used to be this kind of dingy kind of cafe where you'd order and they're from a person, and now the door's even shut and they've just got a little table outside and an iPad on it. And you just put your order in. You have to beep your card on the iPad, and then they'll just hang it out the window in sort of 5 minutes.
I don't know.
It's kind
I
of
think the thing with the
completely different
a store, at least like I don't know, but I don't know how I feel about buying prepared food from a back alley with a closed door and an iPad on a table. You know what I mean? Like I want to see.
Let me tell you something. I am for it. For the simple reason that, and anybody listening to this that works in a customer-facing job, the less time you have to spend facing the customers, the better you can just get on with making the stuff and selling it. You don't have any people coming in and going, I was here last week and
I don't know. I think if it goes that way too far, we'll lose a lot, right? Like I think that
we'll lose a lot of misery.
No, come on. Like it's such a narrow view of the whole thing. Like
you worked retail, right?
I worked retail, but there's definitely places that do it better than others, and that where the people genuinely do seem to be happy to speak to people and be in front of people, and they're cooking
like
food and
store?
Stuff and whatever. Like
the Apple store where they train robots to act like human beings.
Yeah.
I say down with customer facing. Give me the shit right now. I'll leave you. You leave me. No sales, no chat, no nothing. I just buy the stuff and I get home.
Okay, but what
ideal.
About okay, I like to go to there's a deli in the market where I live. That I like to go to, and it's like a kind of it feels like an old school kind of like Italian place. You know, it's got the it's got all these like olives in a bowl and like eggs in a bowl, and it's all you can see it, right? It's all behind glass, and all the guys are back there, and there's like hot food too. They make like pasta and they make pizza and everything. And they're all super chatty, like the same people go in every day to get stuff and everything. Like if that was just reduced to an iPad on a table and a closed door and like one guy, I feel like, you know what I mean? That's like, I'd be missing out on like 5 minutes of just like, yeah, hey, how's it going? Like, can I have a pizza, please? Like, I like all that. I don't know.
Those are not the highlights of my week, though. Interactions
they're not
with
the highlights of your week,
with
but
strangers.
They're little things that just add to your week and make it like a little bit better, right? Like I think if you remove all of that, I think we're going to be miserable. I think we're already heading towards like utter misery, and then just losing those small interactions, which you don't really place a lot of emphasis on, but actually they are good for you.
Okay.
Is a shitty road to go down, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know whether it helps the other person though. If you're working retail, you know, those little interactions probably grind you down in the way that you don't experience as a customer, you know.
Maybe. I feel retail would be different if you had some more like more ownership over it though.
Like, I think you might be right though. Like those old folks who come into the bakery, and you know that's the only social contact they get at all is saying to the baker, oh, you know, how's it going, how are the cobs doing, have you got any pastries today.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like that's the only interaction, you know, Doris gets every week. And
it's
so
not just that,
yeah, we need
that,
to help
the guy
Doris.
That works there might also be your neighbor or like a part of your community, or their kids might go to the same school as you or whatever. Like there's probably some commonality there that you could, you know, just have a quick chat with somebody and just feel like, okay, well, at least I've spoken to somebody and I haven't just like poured over an iPad 24 hours a day and ordered food from a robot, a drone delivered it, and here is your food. Like, great. You know, like...
How are you doing? How's the? It is okay. Yeah. So, have you? What do you think? The beauty of a circuit board. I love the beauty of a circuit board. The ordered nature of it. It makes my circuit board
tingle.
I was trying to think of another electronic component.
Oh man!
Well, it's all circuit board based metaphor in the robot world.
I suppose I couldn't think of anything else that would have been in that. So I'm thinking servo. But
hey, the other day the weather was super nice over here.
My brain isn't on today.
Just before we go quickly, I just want to say I went to pick up my kids from school the other day, and the weather was glorious, and I was wearing my shorts as usual. And one of the teachers commented and said, oh, God, you're a genius. What a great day to wear your shorts. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I wear them every day, like, throughout the year. But because the weather was finally nice and suitable for
Are
shorts.
Are you trying to get yourself a fucking nickname or something?
Mr. Shorts.
They're just going to call you Shorts.
Mr. Shorts. It's you again with the stupid
little
shorts.
How you get, that's how you get a nickname.
Yeah, that's
all right. Thanks everyone for listening. That's us today from Shorts. Fucking salty.
Yeah,
I don't know whether that's you or me, P Flex.
Mr. Computer Deliveries, man, and
take it.
And gamer,
gamer, self-loathing gamer.
That's us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye.